This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with two birds on a bat with Jim, Steve, and Fish.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Andre Lottis! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line! It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Cardinals are! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, fans. Welcome to Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast, done by fans, everyday guys just like you that like to sit around and talk about our beloved Redbirds and through thick and thin, through tough losses like we had last night, through great wins like we had the night before. It's hard to be a Cardinal fan today, but on the whole, we've lived a great life of being a fan. And guys, I got to tell you, the sky is still not completely fallen yet, as the Giants did us a favor last night.
Yeah, I mean, we're coming a day early, okay, yep, to the show.
Because we got to golf tomorrow. We got to do a charity golf outing, so we're a day early.
But the Cardinals didn't give any less to talk about
right
over the last couple of nights.
Yes.
So we got a lot to handle today.
Of course, that's my one of my counterparts, Steve-O. Fish is in studio with us, as of course, today. And we have a special guest. We had told you guys that graciously a friend of mine and a friend to everyone, former Cardinal coach, former World Series winner, former Gold Glover, Yadier's brother Benji Molina had agreed to come on the show weekly and give his take on the Cardinal playoff push. And thanks to something great the Cardinals got going on, Benji's actually in town and has joined us in studio. It's a thrill for all of us to have him in here. Benji, welcome to the show.
Well, no, thank you guys for having me, and this is a pleasure for me to be here, you know. Finally put faces on names.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, you know, I think everybody thought you were just a voice in a, like Charlie's Angels when we were kids. You were just a voice coming out of a box.
Well, we had seen him. He just had never seen us.
Well, that I was going to say, yes.
And we all got faces for radio, so.
Yeah. Right.
You know, putting a face with a name is.
Benji will eventually be on TV because, you know, he can pull that off. But we'll just stay right here behind the mic.
Well, he's got the best TV face in this room.
Yeah, wow. Well, that's not hard to do, though.
No,
that's not hard to do.
No, it's not like you want a Gold Glove here.
Oh, they can fix you up.
Hey, before we get into last night's game, night before, and start talking about where we're headed into this, you know, encompassing weekend, you are in town for a really neat event through the Cardinals. You are going to be doing some Spanish-speaking broadcasts to allow that audience that there's a big audience out there, Latin Americans, that love the Cardinals. And you guys, through the Cardinals, are going to do this and see – how received it is, and possibly do more of it. Tell our listeners a little bit about it.
I think it's a great idea. And I heard that it's the first time ever they're going to do that. They haven't done it before.
Yeah,
they haven't tried it before. I think it's an awesome idea. Try to reach out to those Hispanic population and see what we can do after that. We'll see. It'll be fun, you know. It'll be fun to see how many people we can reach out and. The guy that I'm going to work with, it's Polo Asensio, and he has a lot of background, and he's done a lot of Dodger shows and things like that of baseball. So I'm feeling that it's going to be great. I think the community, Hispanic community, is going to be listening, and it's going to be having fun. I'm just trying to make it fun for them, you know.
Well, the one thing we know is the Cardinals, business-wise, are not stupid men. So they obviously have done their homework, they've done their research. I'm sure over time they've realized that they have, and it's probably due to Yachty and some of the other guys that they've had, they have a presence in that Latin community, so there's an obvious need for it. Now, how great it is, I'm sure we're about to find out, of course.
Well, you have to know that the number one team in baseball over the whole baseball, it's the Yankees. But who comes afterward? It ain't Tampa. It's the Cardinals.
Cardinals.
Yeah.
They come after them, as the most successful team in baseball. And they haven't had a Hispanic or a Spanish radio, that's crazy, I think it is. I think they should have had it years ago, but it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, I saw you either you texted it to me or I saw it in a tweet that one of the things you were kind of excited about was you've done some stuff before, kind of like sitting in, but now you're the lead guy on this. Is that right?
No. I think...
You're doing the color.
The color,
you're
yes.
doing the color, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they want me to be the number one guy out there. He'll be helping me, actually.
Yeah.
But that's why I said, I hope I come across good. I hope I do a good job for those people out there listening.
Well, as a color guy, your job is to give insight and talk about what's going on in the game. You've done a great job with us so far of giving both us and our listeners a view from both a former player, a coach, a diehard guy that we love as fans because you played the game the right way. You did all the things that we wanted out of our players. So it's time to dive right in. Guys, we at this juncture, we felt like we needed to take 3 or 4 from the Reds. That's not going to happen. At best, we're going to get 2 of 4. First game, rough. Second game, we explode after it doesn't start off all that great. And then last night, I don't know. What are you guys seeing?
Can we not get out of the first inning without giving up a couple of runs?
Well, we did last night.
I get it. But the first night, number one game coming out against the Reds, and all of a sudden you're down a couple immediately. And all of a sudden you're behind the eight ball, not to mention another show here, but, now you're fighting. Where is the fire on this team to come out and say, we're going to take control of our own destiny from the first pitch, from the first at-bat? And that's probably the frustrating thing that I'm looking at is where is that excitement? We texted on Monday night saying, they're dead. It's flat. There's nothing, no energy. And you can feel that through the TV set.
That's exactly what I told him and Jim. And I said, hey, I don't see any energy. I don't see any urgency. And they have it. It is an urgency.
Absolutely.
You have to come out and fight. And I don't see that fight. I don't see it in there, like you said, no energy, no, just flat out there. You have guys missing balls that, as a fan, it's tough to watch. As a fan,
right.
But us, we understand. That happens sometimes. But the whole field looks like just dead. Nobody has an energy out there. That's what it feels like.
Now, I think the trend this year has been the home run thing. They have exploded, and when they hit, they hit. Really, no other Cardinal team in recent past. But I don't think they get as many guys on base. They don't move guys over. We have trouble scoring in certain situations. So, yes, when the home runs come, there's 3, 4, 5, 6 of them at a time. Wonderful. We win games. This team's got to find a way to win the nights that they don't hit home runs.
Benji, I would want to get your take on this. There's been a lot of talk about the Cardinals and the home runs, and I think because we're not used to it, right, as a group, like this many, this pinch hit record, the amount of games where we've hit 4 home runs or more is we've had great home run hitters here in the past, like a McGuire or a Albert to be – recent, and then we've had some other guys have some career style years. Can a team become too dependent on the home run? Is that a mindset that seeps in? Like, we're going to get that 3-run here sooner or later, so we'll just play for it?
I don't think it works in a player's mind. No, I don't think anybody out there is looking for to hit a home run. I think everybody's trying to put a good swing on the ball, trying to look for a good pitch to swing at. It's tough. I know it's tough because they haven't done, and the numbers show that the home run's what they live by. I just don't think they're looking for a home run. I don't believe that. I think they're looking to swing and to have a good swing on the ball and drive it. When I was here coaching in 2013, we took pride on two out base hits and two out RBIs. And you don't see that. You don't see that anymore. Everybody's, like you said, swinging hard. And
you know what's amazing for you to bring up 2013? One of our listeners, and I can't remember where he's from, but didn't they contact you, Steve-O, and say that it was your brother out in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
He said you may want to look into 2013 when Benji was there as the assistant hitting coach, because they're hitting. Did we set a record or something for runners in scoring? It was something crazy.
Yeah, average with runners in scoring position. Yeah, was off the chart.
With men on yeah. I mean, let me tell you this, and I'm not trying. I really hate, you know, like sounding like a brag or anything, but I really, really took pride on two out hits and two out RBIs in my career. Any time I took from the Angels to Texas, my BPs, my batting practice, was always men on second with two outs in my head. Obviously, it's not a game, you know, it's BP. But you still have to get a hit. You still have to get the guy over. And when I get a fly ball, I got mad.
Right.
In BP, this is batting practice.
Right.
So that's a mindset. You develop that. You're a guy up there working, not giving away a bat.
Heck yeah.
I watched Garcia yesterday. He swings at a strike on a fastball. He misses. The second pitch, he hits weakly down the third baseline. The third pitch, he takes for a ball. And the fourth pitch, he takes looking. Now, to me, now I'm a fan. I never could hit. I couldn't hit in Little League, brother. But that's giving away in a bat. My God. There was not one good swing.
It should be the mentality coming from the whole year, not last night, obviously, but what you create in spring training is what's gonna carry you the whole through year, and I really believe it. Like whenever I went to the Angels the first year, Socha was the manager. He got us all together and he said, "Listen, I know who's a superstar. I know who's the guy with 30 homers and 100 RBI. I know that. But we need those guys that are not to be ready. So when I call a bunt, you bunt for me. So when I call the hit and run, you do it. When I need you to get a guy over, you do it. I need you to do that. But where does it start? Spring training. First day out. So now our mentality, it's like, oh, shoot, we have to do this. Dun, 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 dun. Then here comes August, here comes September. We still have that mentality. It's easier for us to do it. But if you wait, like we were saying before about Carpenter bunting or not, but if you wait to September when the game matters to say, Carp, put out that bunt, it's unfair. It's unfair for it, for everyone. It's unfair for the manager to call it. It's unfair for the guy to do it. I think if you would have set something in spring training and say, hey guys, anybody here at some point, man, we might right. need you. So, but,
and I think we're missing that in baseball as a whole, is that team game. The stuff that we love as Cardinal fans, the Whitey ball. The Cardinal way, putting pressure on the defense. Where are our hit and runs? Where are our bunts moving runners over? And I think, Jim, that's what you're alluding to.
The sacrifice.
Right. Is instead of Garcia getting up last night in a situation to tie the ball game with a sacrifice fly, is he up there trying to win it with a walk-off? And is that mentality missing somewhere from spring training on, and now all of a sudden we're fighting for our lives and we didn't have the guys to do it?
I want to say this, and Fish, you're right, it was a bad at-bat, but I want to say this. I actually, when Garcia came up with one out, this is going to sound goofy because, I mean, we got a couple of great players. I mean, obviously, if Yachty or Carpenter would have been up, I'd have felt really strong. I felt like Garcia was going to get it done because he has, on the most part, taken good at bats. He's hit well. He's done it. And I thought, here's a guy that's not a me guy. He's not a bit, to your point, Benji, he's not a guy that hits 30 home runs. This is a guy fighting and clawing to play. And I thought his mindset right now is, I'm going to get this ball. And he did. I just think he missed it. I mean, what are we, Benji, really, at the end of the day, he flied out to short left field. We're talking about a centimeter, right? On the bat, we're talking about a centimeter away from a tie ball game.
The problem that we do as a hitter is that we try to get under it to make sure that we hit a fly ball. And that's when the trouble happens. So when I was here, I always talk to the guys, just try to center it. Even if it comes down hard on the ground and you hit it right at somebody, dang, man, you still hit it hard. You look good. You're okay, man. You hit it hard. You didn't find a hole. But you trying to lift it and get under it, that could happen.
Right.
You know, you pop it up somewhere, you get jammed. For your point, Fish, about him getting cut looking, as a hitter, the first couple pitches dictate the whole at-bat at the end. So you might have got a pitch right down the middle, foul it off back. Now your head is like, dang it, man. You know, that was my pitch. And that, I mean, see how your mind gets off of it? Now you start battling. Oh, here is here, here is there. And then all of a sudden you get caught looking. It's because your mind just
right. And I didn't mean to throw Garcia.
No, I knew that.
Because
he
does play
hard.
He is a good player. It just seems like we see these at-bats that maybe in the past we haven't. I don't know if it's the home run thing.
Right.
Benji's saying probably not. They're not thinking that way. And there's really no true home run hitter in this team. Guys are going to go out there and hit 45 anyway. So even guys like Grigic and them guys are Jerko or more guys that are just going to hit some. So I don't think they're trying to hit home runs. We just can't give away at-bats.
And it has happened a lot. It's not – and I know you weren't getting on Garcia. What I meant – what I wanted to say, though, was it's odd, but I actually felt really good about Garcia coming up there. I thought left-handed, this guy throws hard. Garcia's had great at-bats, and he's a smart player. I thought, you know what, we're going to get a fly ball, or at minimum we're going to get the ground ball to the right side and get this thing
tied up.
He's
a gamer, man. He's a gamer, and I like him when I was here, and I'm sure he's the same way still. You know, it's tough because we know the outcome right now. You know, we know that he popped it up, and he could have had better at-bats and stuff, but that Diaz at-bat was the same way. He fouled a couple pitches right there, fastball. The guy was coming at people. It wasn't like he was tricky. He was tricking nobody. He was coming right at you, 97, strike. And then, obviously, he has to go to his best pitch. You know,
right. That mindset, though, Benji, that you talk about, the Diaz at-bat, the first strike was clearly inside. And he was and he was upset right there and there. When that happens to you.
Now your mind goes crazy because now he's throwing 97. Now he's getting the call inside. Now you're trying to cheat a little bit because he's throwing hard. Now you're trying to cheat a little. He goes and spins something. Man, I mean.
And he got out in front is exactly what he did there.
So obviously being a veteran helps a lot there.
For sure. Heck yeah.
And Diaz being so young can't help. You know, it almost maybe set up the rest of the at-bat. Being a guy that's played in the league 10 years, you can say, hey, this happened before. I know how to deal with this.
Well, yeah, of course. And then if it was me and he calls me inside, I still believe he's trying to either go inside or go a slider away in my head. This is what a lot of guys don't do, and I try to make it happen when I was coaching with the Cardinals, and I think it worked, was you have to have two pitches in your head. There's no way you're a hitter and you're thinking fastball, react to curveball, like everybody says. There's no way to that. If you're thinking fastball and you're reacting to a slider, that's what happened, like what happened to Diaz. That's exactly what happened. He's way off in the front and hits that. But if he's thinking both, not that that's going to help because it's 97. It changed your mindset. What I'm saying is, in your head, you have to think sometimes two pitches. You say in your head, you know, you got to stay back on the slider as much as you can. Go the other way on the slider. As soon as I seen the spin, you know, picture your mind going the other way. A fastball, I'll try to be quick. But you cannot do one time.
Did you at all think in the ninth about the squeeze play? I mean, I sat there. I'm telling you, I sat there, watched a game 10 years ago with La Russa, and I could tell you, I could call the pitch. I did with a group of buddies in the fifth row. I said, here comes a squeeze. It's a walk-off. Done. It crossed my mind last night as what I would do, but never once did I have a feeling that they would put on the squeeze. You got Wong, who's one of your faster players on third, but I just didn't have the confidence in Matheny with this team.
But look what you're saying. The whole season's probably getting you to that point.
Correct.
You see? But if the spring training, here it comes once in a while, a little bunt and squeeze here and there, and then April come and you get two squeeze in, and then you you keep going, you don't have that mindset. You have the mindset, okay, it might come here, you know?
So here's the deal. Diaz hit the ball hard to third.
Yeah.
Somewhat. Yeah. If the third baseman's in another three steps preparing for the squeeze, does that ball sneak by? Does it hit off the glove?
Well, I don't know.
If it's set up earlier in the year?
They don't get – nobody gets set for squeeze. he would have been the same side.
Not they charging hope, a couple more steps?
I don't thinking, think so.
Okay.
No, because...
Well, he didn't. I mean...
No, and he won't. And they won't because that's normal. The squeeze is just a hope that the bunner just goes straight to the pitcher and then the pitcher just...
Yeah, because it's going to work or it's not. I mean, if a guy gets the bunt down, the run's going to score. If he don't, he's going to be tagged out.
I will say this,
so
though.
So there's no need in playing
and the guy's running. So
But in
there's
defense,
no need for him to put the guy in.
On the thought process on this, though, the one thing that I will say that should have maybe at least entered into this equation was you had nobody out. And it wasn't like it was a slow guy at third base. It was Wong. You could have safety squeezed there. Really, with Wong, you could.
You would have had to. You would have had to with Garcia hitting because he's a lefty.
You could have safety squeezed there.
Well, you're taking a chance on the safety squeeze, and this is my reason. The safety squeeze, you still have to take your lead at third.
Right.
Sure lead that you can score.
Because
he's not squeezing. Squeezing is
he
running.
Takes off, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Easy. But by him, you don't know if he's going to bunt it because he's a safety squeeze. So he could go like this, and at the end, oh, no, that's not the pitch. And then all of a sudden you're caught up thinking out there. I mean, you're taking chances. It's not a bad play, squeeze, right. Of course not, especially with Diaz. But Diaz is doing well, you know. It's not like he's struggling. Garcia, I don't know, haven't seen much. But it's not a bad option at all.
Right.
But it's a lefty against a righty. He almost got it done.
Absolutely.
It's not like... you have to be able to do it. This is another thing that we were being talking about. You have to trust your guys. Yeah, Carpenter is a great hitter. But why can't he just bunt it? Because he was struggling.
Right.
At that moment. He was having a tough at-bats. If he's a righty, of course, you're not going to do it. But if it was Lester. He's dominating everybody. Just get him over. These are options. I'm just saying... they shouldn't. I'm not saying they should have done it. I'm saying that they could have done it. Hey, get him over and see what happened. We are fighting for our life. And that's what these guys need to understand. No energy, and plus you don't have these little plays. Like you say, you got to play the small ball. Mm-hmm. That baseball is missing, and that's what happens,
Do you think, and you would obviously know this, because you've dealt with it, right? So does some of this, we talk about the energy, right? And for us sometimes as fans, we're like, how can they not have any energy? They're fighting for their playoff lives. They're getting paid all this money. And playing at home. So is some of it the fact that they're human and, their pitching staff's in tatters, they're Holiday's out, this guy's out, this guy's hurt. It's obvious Diaz is hurting. Yachty's playing more games he's ever played. I mean, he's fighting through – all this is going on. Does it seep into your mind like, man, we're climbing an uphill battle here and there's just no energy?
Well, right now it is. And right now that's what they're showing us.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not talking something that's not true here. It's what they're showing the people.
And that's what I mean. Are we crazy? Like, as fans, like, you guys are crazy. They care. It just doesn't appear they do.
No,
but
they do care.
Well, not care. That was a bad word, I guess.
They do care, but I'm saying, like, I don't know when you get in between the lines. I don't know how can you not show the energy? How can you not show the fire? It's hard to believe that you have 9 guys out there that are laid-back kids. You got to feed off from somebody. You got to find a way to have at least one guy out there that shows fire, like, let's go, guys, or something. And, I don't know,
And we talked about that, is where is our bulldog, whether it's coming from a starting pitcher, we had, Chris Carpenter in the past. Where is that spark plug? Where is that guy who gets the big hit and all of a sudden the floodgates open? Or he does he makes a great defensive play and, and all of a sudden the momentum turns. I don't see that guy on our team. Now, we got some great leaders out there and we got some great ball players, but sometimes it's just it's a bench guy. That can do it, that gets them fired up. And I just don't see that guy on the team. As much as I'd like to see a Carlos Martinez step into the role, sometimes he's having fun playing baseball, and it's not an intensity part of the game.
You know why I think I was a good leader, and I still believe I am, and it's not bragging, obviously, it's just I feel like I am? It's because on the toughest moments, is when I rose. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
On these moments, it's easy to be a leader when you're hitting five home runs. When the team scores 10 runs, yeah, you're a leader, of course. Let's go, guys. No. A leader is the one that pick up the team from the ground and say, come on, it's not going to happen. Let's go. Let's get a couple of hits together.
Think in baseball or life, that defines leadership perfectly. I mean, the guy that rises to the top at the lowest times.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly, that's a leader. Right. And like you said, anybody can lead when you're winning 13-2.
Yeah.
You know, so, we've had a couple of those games, like you were saying, Steve-O, that I really thought, me and you texted on one of them, Jimmy, that's the game. That's the game. And this has been about 13 games.
No, you're right, yeah. I mean, we've done it 13 games left. You're right.
We thought, that's the game. You watch. It's over. Cardinals going to roll through this thing. When they won the other night, big. They scored a lot of runs. You keep thinking, like you said, Steve, this is it. We're going to have guys. We're fired up. You win whatever it was, 13-8 or whatever it was, you're pretty fired up. I don't know how you come back the next day and not say, let's go get them, boys. But I think that's the J.D. Drew thing. I don't think, you know, these guys do care. They're not being lazy. I even think they probably got energy. We're just at a time where it's looking like, nah.
You know what, Fish, I've played on teams like this and I've played on teams that have that spark guy, that it seems like they're just sitting around waiting for somebody to have that spark, whether it was Diaz with the big home run, and that was the thing that lit the fuse. But it just, you roll through at bat after bat after bat, waiting for somebody to do something to get that spark, and the next thing you know, you're in the sixth inning, you're down by three.
Yeah, but teams from the Cardinals before, they didn't need no sparks. They had the sparks.
Right.
The teams before. This year doesn't seem like it. At least they're showing us that they're a little hesitant, maybe, or young. Some guys are probably young, timid. But before, man, the Cardinals ain't no need no spark plug. They had a bunch. They had a bunch, and they wouldn't let it die, you know, in the dugout or the clubhouse, you know. That's the way I see it.
Well, as we sit today, thanks to the fact that the Giants basically have really crapped the bed the second half of the season, you know, as we sit today, we're still only a game behind them. So we are literally – a Cardinal victory and a Giant loss away from once again being tied, which is very realistic. We've talked about this before. We have, while they are at home playing Colorado, they do have to play the Dodgers the last three seasons. And as Benji, I'm sure, can attest, that is always a very serious rivalry.
And the Dodgers have played really good against them. So
how do the Dodgers – okay, they clinch the West. We know that their mentality is going to be get some rest, set up their pitching lineup, and have everybody ready to go for the divisional series. Does that play in, or is it going to be a bigger thing to them to say, hey, we're playing our rival, let's knock them out?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're not going to sit back. I mean, they might rest some guys, of course, and they might – you know, have their pitching set up.
Well, we saw what the Cubs did to us. They didn't sit anybody. They came after us.
But these are the three last games of the season. This is different. This is not like in the middle of the year.
Last week with the Cubs when we played them.
Yeah, but these ones are the last three games of the season, and here comes the playoffs. So it might be a little different. It might be they play five innings or of the normal guys so they can keep getting at-bats and things like that. But I don't think the way they play against each other, I don't think they're going to back down, man. They want to beat him up pretty good.
Yeah, because that's his biggest rivalry, probably bigger than the Cardinal-Cub, the Giant-Dodger thing.
Just as big.
Since the 50s.
Yeah.
I mean, they want to get him out of the playoff. That'll be like an extra win-win, you know,
absolutely,
for them.
So are you rooting for the Cardinals in this thing or the Giants? I know that's where your World Series stuff, but Yachty the brother, where are we at?
I always say the Cardinals. I mean, I got a lot of good friends in the Giants, and they understand that part. If you get me to pick other than the Cardinals, it'll be the Giants in Texas. You know, obviously they're good friends of us. They're good people. Texas, everybody's forgetting about them, and I think they're going to make some noise. Come the playoff, you know, and
that's actually who I think is going to win the thing. That's just my opinion. I think they're going to give the Cubs if it turns out to be Texas and the Cubs. I think they'll give them all they can handle.
But can I get by Boston? Boston just feels right. I don't know what it is. They're just really playing good.
I just can't. I don't know what it is about Boston, but I can't get on board. I just can't do it. I know that I just.
They have some nice young talent, man. Wow.
Yeah.
And they can do it. And they have the energy.
Right. And as right.
Well, they do have that.
Watch that game. And them games are a completely different look than what you're seeing out of Cardinals. Right. That's the point we're trying to make.
Well, they got Pedroia.
That's I
got Papi.
Right.
They got those guys that are veterans that they're not going to let that die.
Now,
you know what I mean?
And that's your storybook there, your Big Papi going off for a season, you know, a la John Elway, a la, you know, Peyton Manning was a different story, but walking off with an MVP-type season and riding off in the sunset. And he's that guy that had that energy. As he goes, the team goes for sure.
Hey, we discussed it on other shows. And I was like a proponent of saying, can Big Papi really retire after the MVP? What if he actually wins the MVP? Now, Betts and some other guys are right there with him. But if Big Papi wins the MVP, can he actually retire?
I don't. He said in one of his interviews that his biggest mistake was to say he was retired. That was his big mistake.
I told you so.
And because he could have waited until the end and said, I'm done. You know, I'm out. But now is putting it really tough on himself, man. I wouldn't retire if I were him. If I have this type of year, I would stay in until I you know, have a so-so year, and I'm like, oh, okay, you know, this is the time. But having this type, come on, man.
And there's got to be 25 to 30 million reasons why he would stay around another year or two, right?
You think the Boston's not going to give it to him?
They're going to stroke the check. They got the money.
Who's
to pay.
Not going
to
give it to him? You're saying they might not?
No.
Somebody
no,
will.
No, I'm saying you think that they're not going to
give it to him. Oh, okay. I misinterpreted. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, they're going to. Matter of fact, it may be more than that because it's going to be short term, 1 year.
Yeah. Hey, I want to get back to this Giants-Dodgers thing because we were talking about will they give. And when we were last together and we checked, I think we were excited because they were going to get two of the big three. They've altered their rotation now where San Francisco is going to get their top three. They're going to get Maeda, Hill, and Kershaw.
Well, you think that those three guys are going to just, okay, this is my bullpen session?
Oh, no. They're going after them.
I don't think that you want to end up the season on giving up five runs. Yeah, you know, things right. like that.
Well, we've seen Cueto in action, and we know here in St. Louis that, yeah, he's not giving in.
No,
I'll give him that. He's not going to give in.
Oh. Nobody, no pitcher. See, like yesterday, the Reds got nothing to do in the pitcher. Nothing.
Right.
And those kids, they're going out there, they're trying to shut you down. Well, they don't care, you know. They're not getting work done.
And that brings up the whole thing, the dynamic of the wild card and then the extra wild card and the September call-ups is, you know, how that all plays into the game that we see in September is it used to be traditionally September, you already playoffs are virtually set, and you had a lot of September call-ups playing a lot of games. Now all of a sudden they're just getting sprinkled in here or there, and you're playing baseball – virtually 162 games, especially with the rivalry games being at the end of the season too.
Not with the Reds, huh? They're all young.
Yeah.
They're all young guys, man, and they bring a different mentality to the game. Though they're trying to prove something.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you're the Cardinals or whoever, and trying to make it like the Giants in Colorado, they probably face a few young guys, and then you add them up. That energy of the young guy, you add them up to Arenado and Carlos Gonzalez and Blackman, man. You know, you got a dang good thing, you know.
Hey, speaking of facing somebody, what's it like, Benji, to face somebody like Chapman or somebody of that ilk?
I think it's tough, you know. People think that since we are professionals, we should just obviously get a hit every time or whatever. But it's really tough, you know, and sometimes you want to stay on a fastball and a mentality, you know, he throws you a little slider. Now your mentality goes crazy because you're trying to stay on the fastball, throws 100 or plus, and it's hard, man. It's tough, you know.
That's why we thought Martinez had a pretty good at bat against him
the
other night. I mean, for a young guy like that, to come up and this guy, don't you have to look fastball? I mean, if you look for a slider or something different, you'll never catch that one.
Yeah, I mean, what do you do when a guy's that down? I mean, who do you have? Like, have you ever? You've probably been asked this. Who's the toughest pitcher you ever faced?
I always say the same guy. I always think Tim Hudson was really nasty.
Really?
I was facing him in Oakland, and he was throwing 96, 95 with the sinker, nasty sinker, split, cutter, slider. I mean, he was unbelievable for me.
Yeah.
I couldn't hit him. I don't know. I don't know why, but I just couldn't hit him.
Well, you get scared of a guy like that when the catcher takes off his glove to flash another sign. He's got six or seven fingers down.
And good ones.
Yeah, good ones. He had all the pitches.
Easy. Yes. It's easy to say you have five, six pitches, but you only use two.
Right.
Hey,
and that's why Chapman might be, not that he's easier to hit, I might oversimplify it, but you're going to sit one pitch. And if he gets you with the slider, you tip your cap, you go back and sit down. But you're going to sit dead red and just try to square something up. Hudson.
And he usually will give you the fastball. It's right. Like the kid yesterday that we were saying. If you watch the ninth inning, first two pitches were fastballs. There were no trick to it.
Yeah, but they were 104.
There were
Chapman was. He's talking about the guy.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Was his name Iglesias? Is that his name?
Right. Yeah, Iglesias. That's right.
He used to be a starter, but now that, I mean, I like him as a reliever because, you know, he got
97. Yeah, it's bald tail a little bit and a slider.
Yeah.
Well, who's the hardest guy you ever faced? Like, did you remember? Did you face anybody throw 100?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Many of them. Broxton was throwing 100 when he was with the Dodgers. Many guys threw 100. I can think of their names, but there were many out there.
Well, here's what I'm curious about. So you faced some guys that throw 100. Obviously, not everybody does. But you faced a lot of guys that threw 93, 94, 95. Does 100 look different than 95? Is it that – it sounds kind of crazy, but it – like, once you get to 95, is it all fast, or is 100 even another ramp-up step?
The only time that 100 and 100-plus doesn't look bad, it's when you're ahead on the count, that you can put yourself ahead of the ball. But when you are 0-2, 1-2, 100 looks like 200 because you're trying to protect right. The plate, and you're trying to stay back on something tricky, and you don't want to look silly, you know, and things like that. So that's the only time the 100 and it doesn't look bad. It's because you're ahead in the count and you can put the head of the bat up front, you know.
Yeah. Have you watched Chapman pitch much, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Because if you did, you wouldn't have to ask that question. It's obvious by players' reactions that 100 looks hard.
That's where I was going with the question. Because not only does he throw 100, he actually throws 103. Okay? So my point was, are we at the point in baseball where he almost throws so hard that unless you – this is what we see with Chapman, right? We see guys, they just, it's almost like they've decided, and you, Benji, you would have more insight on this. It's almost like they've decided before he throws it, I'm swinging and hopefully I connect.
You have to, not that I didn't do it, I did it many times. You have to set up your mind to say, you know what, I'm swinging. I don't care where it is.
Let your hands work.
Yeah, you just hope that the ball is down. That's another thing. He doesn't throw 103 only. He throws 103 a little bit up in the zone, and it's really hard to hit. These, to drop the head on the ball, is real easy.
Right.
That's why you see like Rosenthal getting hit sometimes. It's because he's down.
Rosenthal doesn't whip it like a Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
A Chapman, even Iglesias last night has a whip to it. I'm doing kind of the motion in here, but like a Nolan Ryan.
That looked good. You're ready to go.
Hey,
is he ready?
I think I need Tommy John after that.
When I was a little guy in Little League, here's where I had my most success against the best pitchers. I just went to a coach and said, Coach, my tummy hurts today. I can't play. And that's how I had most of my – that's the way I faced it. I don't know if that's the way you all do it.
Well,
but
we ain't doing that
I can't
today.
Go today, Coach.
They got – at this juncture, and that's another thing for this, at this juncture, you and I had the conversation, Carr over here, Carr right over. We've got this many games left. It's all hands on deck. There is no – I got an ache. I don't feel well. I don't hit this guy well. Your top eight got to play, and they just got to go out and do it. Is there anything, Benji, that you can think of as either a player or a manager, because you've done both at the highest level, is there any reason to believe that we can't get the next five games out of these guys the best they got?
If they have the right people and if they have the right mindset to do a leadership, I think they should be able to. I believe so. I really do believe that they have the heart for it. I really do believe they can do it. But they should have felt this pressure a week ago.
Yeah.
They shouldn't wait for the last five games to try to do a miracle or something happen. I think they should have done it like a week ago and say, you know what, let's go all out, guys. Come on, let's go.
Right. Well, here's where I see that pressure is. you look at this lineup being flipped around. I mean, Matheny's trying everything to find that spark. Yachty's batting in the three hole.
Yeah.
I mean, is that a sign of desperation from your management, your manager into the clubhouse saying, shit, we're in trouble, and we got to find some way to move this lineup around 156 games into the season, and we're going to flip-flop everything?
I wish I could tell you what I want to right now.
You say it. Listen, this is a podcast for Cardinal fans.
We got your back.
No, I know, but I don't want to.
I don't want to throw somebody on there. Well, the other thing, I'll say it. Does Brandon Moss need to be anywhere near a baseball bat right now? I can read your mind. Because around a baseball bat.
Well, you know what, though? I will say this. I get it. I understand it. Okay, here we go. I'll throw it back to the fan. What are you going to do? Who do you want? And I'm not saying that you're not right, because the guy's like, realistically, I don't know that we've ever seen.
He's batting 063.
Anything like Pham, this. Tommy Pham, Baker.
That Martinez kid had a great at-bat.
I love that guy.
What?
And
give
he'll
me
put
something
the ball
different.
On play.
Absolutely. He should not be around a piece of lumber at all unless it's under his ass.
We talked on the way over here, surprisingly, about when the chips are down, when times are tough, the ability for a guy to realize somebody else has got to be in there right now because I'm struggling. I mean, it's a hard thing, but team's got to come first. I mean, we talked about team.
You play for St. Louis. You play for the jersey. You play for the city. That's why I love Tony La Russa. I love how he managed. It's because he was all about the city that he managed. He was all about the Oakland A's. He was all about the St. Louis Cardinals. And, yes, it sounds hard coming from me because I'm a player, because, obviously, I would have loved to play for him. I tell you, I had the best coaches in Socha and Bochy. But I would have loved to have played for Tony, man. He was my kind of guy because he was all out. He didn't care if you were doing whatever you were doing. He would pinch it for you if you weren't having a good game, not a good series, or not a good week. He would have pinched it for you that day when he saw you having two strikeouts or your mind wasn't there. Uh-uh, man. Come in. You know,
so it was a mindset. It was a grind. You know? He treated every game. We talked about the Tony La Russa mindset in here. What we got as fans from Tony was every series is just that. We're going to try to win every series. We understand that we're going to lose games, but we're going to win these series. And at the end of the year, if we do that, look where we sit.
Here's what he did best, because if you take those three baseball minds that Benji just mentioned, his baseball mind is certainly no better than Bochy or Socha's. No worse, but no better. I mean, them two guys know baseball also.
Sure.
Having said that, what Tony La Russa did was every day had guys prepared to play. Every day he had guys. If you didn't fit in his program, he got rid of you. He had guys that wanted to play his way, and they came prepared and played hard.
You know what? I want to say something real quick. I think about those three guys that we just mentioned as a manager, and they're winning coaches, mm-hmm. winning. What type of game they play? Get the guy over. Hit and runs. That's how they win.
Absolutely.
That's how Bochy wins over there. Everybody's sacrificing everything to get. Yes, they get the big hit once in a while, but they move the guys over. They bunt. They do this.
Well, that's
where,
you know, we talk about Matheny being a catcher from that lineage, and the catcher being the field general in nowadays, and understanding, you know, from a position player, one thing that you understand is the pressure on a defense is creates a lot of runs. So is that their mentality? They've seen it so much from behind the plate that they're like, the thing I don't want to do is field a bunt here. The thing I don't want to see here is a hit and run, a stolen base. And Matheny's sitting there looking for a three-run home run.
You know what we're missing these days that I see a lot at home? Guys that are willing to sacrifice for their team. We're missing that. We're missing the guys who are sacrificing a bat, broken bat, at bat, to get the guy over the third. A guy that it's you don't give him the bunt sign, but hell, it's first and second and nobody out. I can drag bunt it, you know, and I can get those guy over, and then this guy, he has to do the job.
Well, hey, so my question to you then, Benji, is We had a great man. I mean, I'm sure you're familiar. We had a great manager here in St. Louis for a long time that's really loved, Whitey Herzog. Whitey Herzog, you know, coached those great Cardinal teams through the 80s. Towards the end, it was a rough go for him. And he was pretty outspoken and said, I couldn't manage because I knew what was going on with our front office at the time. I couldn't go to guys and ask them to sacrifice stats when I knew our organization wasn't going to pay them. Because a bunt, a sacrifice given away in at bat to move a runner over actually, you know, would hurt their numbers. They wouldn't be able to put up the RBIs. They wouldn't be able to put up. Guys wanted to go for things because they knew that was the only way they were going to get paid. Is that where the game's gone?
I think it's gone. It's very sad to see because I'm an old school guy. But look at another thing that if you want to see it that way, Mike Socha will go to every hitter and every player in spring training and say, hey, you might get 500 at bats. I need 50 for the team.
Okay.
Hey, you might get 400 at bat. Hey, I need 50, 40. Those 50 at bats from each one means at some point you're going to have to get that guy over or sacrifice your at bat or bunt.
So if a manager does that, approaches it that way, is a player more apt to buy into that if a manager?
Of course. Yeah. Of course, because if you ask Carpenter or whoever to bunt and he haven't done it the whole year or spring, don't expect that to be okay, right. You know? It's
well, just
hard.
The fact that you were honest with him from the get-go. You
right.
were honest with the player.
Sure.
So in July, when you got to get on a player's ass, there's not like, well, coach, you know, I talked to you about this in spring training. You can have your 500 bats, but this team needs 50 of them. And one of the 50 right now is for you to move this runner over. Hit
right.
the other
yeah.
way, bunt, whatever
right.
it is.
Right.
I need it now.
And, Jimmy, this is what pisses me off about that statement you just made. Is the fact that when Whitey was doing that, these guys were fighting to get into seven digits, the $1 million range,
right.
the $1.5 million. These guys now are making $5, $10, $15, $25, $30 million a year. So the fan in me says, are you freaking kidding me? You need to sacrifice. So what? You make $20 million instead of $25 million. Okay?
Yeah,
there, that's the
there's
fan
not a lot
part.
Of guys
there's,
making
wait a minute,
20,
right, because there's not a guy sitting here either, though, that if you said, I mean, I'm pretty dumb. I think we've bared that out through the show.
Hey,
but
right.
if you tell me $22 million, $25 million, I'm going to take the million off. I'm just do 22 and 25. Think, ooh, I'll take the bigger number. We're all going to do that. That's tough, Steve-O.
I know.
Given
but
it,
from
and the fact that they may only get to do this for 10 years. This isn't a lawyer who you could do this for the next 50 years. You may only get 10 years at this. I'm going to make my money for my family and my kids' kids. While I got it, I'll never begrudge the player for taking the money. We would all do it.
I understand that part with the money, and you have short time. I mean, sometimes some guys play 8 years, 10 years, and then they have to live from it. But the part is, you're not become a worse hitter by bunting and sacrificing 50 at bats out of 500. You know what I mean? You
right.
don't become.
I'm just talking about the money. Right.
Yeah, yeah. But the numbers that you have are not gonna become horrible because you gave up 50, and you might not even use the 50s.
Hey,
so I think he helps the team.
No, go ahead.
Because I wanted to switch gears here.
Okay.
Because I got another thing that's burning my ass from the other night.
Okay.
Where in the hell is Jaime Garcia slide step? And how are these guys stealing four bases on him?
Oh,
and let's get you fired up here. Because that, to me, was the ultimate
oh boy.
Shit the bed right there, where you're letting Cincy come in here and
run
now,
all
over
you.
Hang
on a second.
And,
you know,
and being lefty.
And being a lefty.
Hang on a second. Wait a minute. You just asked that question to a Gold Glove catcher, probably one of the most competitive guys you know, and the brother of the guy it's happening to. Now, you didn't expect him to turn his head
hey,
like that?
God dang, he didn't even throw on the four stolen base.
No,
he looked. Did you see him look down? I can only imagine what he said. And you might, I don't know if you can even repeat it on this show, which is a podcast, but what is going on?
I don't know, man. I think they have to, I don't know. They might miss a lot of common sense, you know, because if you, like the guy yesterday, the lefty, and you go quick to home, the guy didn't have a chance. Then you go a little up, and you go to the first baseman, and then you go a little up, and then go home. I mean, like, that's when you need to go quick, because the third one, and especially after you just threw the first, you have to go quick, because that's when usually the guy goes.
He's timing you, right?
He's timing you, and okay, it's like the same guy that throws two times over,
mm-hmm.
right?
I'm one, going.
Two, the third time, they don't expect it. So that's when you have to be quick. For me, it's a common sense that you have to go quick. But they don't do it, and I don't understand why.
Is that Garcia mailing it in, or is that him just thinking, I'm struggling so goddamn much on the mound that I'm just going to focus on the batter?
It could be.
And that put us down a handful of runs immediately.
It could be. It could be that, because he could be just saying, man, I don't want to slice that because my pitches doesn't break the same, and they don't do that. You know what I mean? Like, whenever – that's another thing in Socia, and I bring him up a lot because I spend a lot of time talking to him in baseball. And in spring training, he tells you in your bullpen, you need to give me 5 to 10 pitches at 1.3 or 1.2 speed.
Okay.
What is that doing? That when he asks for a slice step or half a slice step, you're going to be able to do it because you work at it in the bullpen. You know?
Right.
So it's easy for you to do it without even asking. But also, these days, the pitchers and anywhere, I'm not talking about the Cardinal pitchers, I'm talking everywhere in the league, they're depending on the guy to call to throw overs and the coach to call, the catcher to call the throw over. No. Why can't you just go here? Yeah, it's a throw. It's not a throw over, but why can't you just turn your head?
And that's it, from a fan's perspective, my perspective. And Jimmy, you know who I played for high school-wise.
Right.
It was a big part of our ball game was the running game. And it was a big part of our defense was the pickoff game and throwing over a bunch. And you know who I'm talking about coach-wise. And to me, that's a huge part of the game. And for that just to – it's there's no more stealing bases. There's nobody's getting 65, 70 stolen bases anymore. And you know, during the glory days, I mean, it was 10 guys a year doing that. And that part of the ball game's left. And Cincinnati made us look like a horse's ass the other day. And Phillips steals third base standing up against arguably the best
defensive catcher
ever.
Right.
That's not right. And what does that tell you?
That was
or
ugly.
That tells everybody.
It's on the pitcher.
Well, we're gonna have to clean this up. And I was wrong earlier. We have 4 games. We have 4 games left. I'm of the belief we got to win all 4. I don't think there's a choice. Only because we're counting on San Francisco to lose 1, and so we got to win all 4 to be tied, in my opinion. Now, could we win 3 of 4 and be tied? Maybe, but we're going to need a lot of help. So we're going to have that. It's time now to go to This Week in Cardinal History. I've got an unbelievable feat that happened in 1998 on September 27th. Mark McGwire ends his historic season, hitting both 69 and 70. Now, during that season, we talked about earlier, we had the anniversary of when he hit 62, which was an unbelievable feat. But it was weird because it was almost – I compared it to when the United States beat the Russians, and everybody thinks they won the gold medal. They didn't. They had to go on and play. So McGwire hit 62, and there's still more games to play. And I think my natural reaction was, man, he's got to, like, it's got to, like, kind of collapse right now. Like, oh, my God, the weight of the world. But he kept hitting home runs. In fact, 2 more, 69 and 70. What I think is interesting about this is that we have Benji in here. And, Benji, you played with the guy that surpassed him, Barry Bonds. When that's happening, when guys are hitting home runs at that alarming rate, I mean, are you just even though you're a Major League Baseball player, are you in all that? Like, you played with Bonds. We talked a little bit about that on the way over. The things that he could do, I mean, was it just almost like unfair?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think what he did was kind of crazy. I think he made hitting look so easy. I don't know what he did that made it look so naturally. Like, he didn't miss pitches. He wasn't pitch. He always pitched around. And for you to see one pitch here and there and make sure to hit it, I mean, I don't know, man. I only played with him 1 year, and he was older, obviously, his last year. He was amazing, man. I think he made everybody, the pitcher, look like nobody out there, you know, and he's a great hitter. I mean, for me, it was amazing.
Benji, I think he walked 200 times 1 year.
Yeah.
I think he had 200 walks in a season.
And if we don't walk him that many times we did in the World Series, I don't think I had a ring from the Angels either.
Right.
Well, switching gears on that a little bit. Give me your top 3 players of all time, not that you played with, but in a history of baseball, from your perspective, top 3.
I think Clemente was one of them.
I love it.
Pete Rose was the other. I was talking about this the other day, but I had too many. Those are my top two. Three, I have to go back. Maybe Hank Aaron was a good, obviously a good player, unbelievable.
Yeah, it's consistent would be the word I'd use with Hank Aaron.
You notice his first two guys though.
Yeah,
I mean, if you'd have asked the question different, name me the two most passionate baseball players.
Yeah.
It would have still been Clemente and Rose.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, there says something in the way you grew up with your father and the passion that you and your brothers have. You know, it goes a long way to
for
the
sure.
whole
mindset. That's your mindset, yeah.
Right.
When is the Major passion. League Baseball going to retire the 21 across the board like they did for Jackie Robinson on 42? It makes sense, doesn't it?
They retire Jose Fernandez, obviously the team, not the league, right away when the tragic happens. And here it goes with the guy that is an icon in baseball. Not only he's as big as probably Jackie Robinson, you know? I mean, close. I mean, it's not.
Well, if you look at the demographics of Major League Baseball, there is a ton more Latino players than there are African American.
Mm-hmm.
And coming from, you know, our country, obviously, the African American movement, it was a huge movement with the segregation and everything. But the Latin
understand.
Player is a huge part of our game. And I just think it's only fitting that Major League Baseball should do something similar.
Yes, I don't understand why. You know, his name is not retired.
You know his story. I think he was on the way to like Nicaragua or something on a help
on a
mission.
Peace mission. Like
someone.
No, they had
an
earthquake.
Flood
it was
or
an earthquake or something. Yeah. He was taking aid. He was taking aid. It was an aid mission.
And he'd got his 3,000th hit the year before.
That day, the day before.
Then, no.
Last
no.
game
no.
of the season.
Yes, the last
yeah,
game.
Right.
He
last
got
game
3,000, and then December 31st.
Right.
Yep.
He didn't have to go, but the problem was that he already sent a couple planes over with help. But the people weren't getting the help.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else was dunking it, you know, like taking it and trying to sell it somewhere.
Right.
So he wanted to go on his own to see it, that he could help. That's what made him go.
Wow.
And you know.
Name me a guy that could hit with power, hit for average, run, throw, play defense any better than he did it.
He's the first guy that I think they call five tools, right?
Oh. Right.
He was a true five tools.
That's
true
five tools.
That's why I asked that question, because I love the Clemente answer, for one. I'm not sure I'd throw Pete Rose in there. I love Barry Bonds, what he did for the ball game. The last one, because you said five tool, I like this only six tool player out there, is Babe Ruth, because he could actually pitch.
Well, that's true, too.
You know,
Babe Ruth could be, yeah, for sure.
So,
could be in
so that's why I asked that question, just because I thought you would go with the Clemente angle, and I agree 125% with that.
And what did Clemente weigh, 165 pounds? Yeah. Now, they may have said 180 and all that, but it couldn't have been much.
Really?
Yeah,
and
oh, he was thin.
And
muscular,
Pete,
but thin.
Pete Rose, I get, you know, what he did. You know, obviously, we all see what he did, and it's really, really bad. But what he did in the game, you know, mm-hmm. and it was amazing. I mean, the way he played the game, every year they had somebody playing for his position. And what did he do? Shut up and go play left field. Shut up, go DH. Shut up, play third base. You know what I mean?
That's an interesting take on him that you don't hear. You're right. They kept trying to replace him because he kept getting older. And all he did was keep going out saying, he was the definition of, if you hit, you won't sit. They will find somewhere for you to play.
Yep.
And he would go out and hustle and play the best he could. I envision, to the point of like what Fish brought up in him, I guess I can only imagine you being young and maybe your dad saying, see the way Pete Rose plays the game? That's how you play the game of baseball.
Yeah, and obviously Clemente was a big part of that. But Pete Rose was one of my dad's guy, you know, because he hustles every single time. And he's hard to do.
And I love Rose, and I love and if you ask him or you read any of his interviews, the one thing he said his dad told him was,
don't bet on the six horse.
Yeah. Well, so his dad told him, I want you to hustle, because that reflects on me as a parent. And I've tried to do that with my kids. I said, the one thing you can control is your effort, your hustle. And that is what your family name is all about.
Wow.
And if you can do that, you'll be successful.
Well, but you know how many players on the Reds follow his lead?
Absolutely. That's that spark plug we were talking about.
You know, like, you have a guy that's going to hustle every single play, and I'm in this team, you sure know I'm going to try to hustle. You sure know that the second baseman better hustle because you follow this guy.
That's what we talked about earlier about a great leadership, and we were discussing that. You know Pete Rose, if they're down 8-2 in a ninth inning and he hits the ground ball to shortstop, he's going balls to the wall to first base. So there's a guy, when the chips are at the lowest, you know you're not going to win that one. But he hits the ball, he's still going.
Yeah.
So he's trying to rise to the top, that whole
that's
leadership
the
whole, thing.
That's the way he plays the game.
Right.
The right way.
Right. Well, hopefully, go ahead. You got
I
one more thing?
I have one more thing.
Oh,
because
my goodness,
I know we're right up against an hour here.
We still got to get John, his favorite left-handed Prairie Farms catcher. We still got to get in here.
But I have
him.
One more thing on because it's I think it's important this week, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday, and I think it gives us a little good vibe out there. But have you ever seen the Lord work in more mysterious ways than what he's done this week with, you know, taking Jose Fernandez from us and then coming back with the D. Gordon home run
and
the Aledmys Diaz home run? I mean, I know you're a God-fearing man.
Yes, you don't have to tell me,
but
man. I believe.
We had this argument out here in the hallway yesterday with a guy, and Jimmy and I are on the same page with this, that is there anything more special than seeing that come down and just show you a little bit of what's possible?
Oh, heck yeah. You don't have to tell me, man. I believe 150, 100, 200%. I believe things. We're very strong. You know, in that matters, in religion, in at home. Growing up with my grandmothers and grandfathers, I mean, they were very huge on that. So it doesn't surprise me. You know, I'm sure very happy that it happened so people can realize what's going on more than a baseball game. This is what's going on, you know. The whole set of tragedies is real, real sad. But in a way, it's a learning lesson to a lot of young guys out there. We're not invincible, we're not in control, and when you put God in control, you'll be fine, you'll be all right. But when you get mad and try to do all these things and you think you're so powerful, you're not gonna be all right, you know. And my dad went through three things, and I always live by it this day. It's God, family, and respect. And if you notice those three things, your daughter might put boyfriend, God, or family, you know. But he, you know what I mean? That mm-hmm. that those three things always change.
Right, the priorities.
When there's trouble.
Right.
When there's trouble, if you really think about it, you always change those three things. And my dad said, as long as you live day by day with those three things as a priority, you will not have trouble. You will not have it. And I still do until today.
Powerful words from
good
a great
stuff.
Man and a good friend and fellow Cardinal fan there, Cardinal Nation, as you heard it right here. Fish asked him the tough question, who are you going with here? I mean, you won a World Series with the Angels. You played in Texas. You actually played for the Giants. You did coach here 1 year, but he's going family here. He's going Cardinal Nation.
Oh, no, it's not only family. It's hard to go against Yadi, man. He's fighting so hard. People don't see. At 10 a.m. he goes every day, 9:30 to 10 a.m., he goes into a gym. He runs outside in the street. He runs in the gym. He goes lift weights. Why do you think he's doing that?
Yeah.
He's fighting for the city. He's fighting for the colors. He's fighting to win a game. He wants to go to the playoff.
We can't know all the details, but I think as fans here in St. Louis, we do know and appreciate and respect the work that Yachty's put in. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's his work, so I don't want to steal any thunder as us being the fans, but I think we recognize that he works awfully hard.
Oh, yeah. And you guys should be really happy. Yeah.
Jimmy, I just got a text from my brother.
Okay.
He has one question.
Okay.
He wants to know.
Okay.
What's the feel of the locker room today when they walk in?
Well, my locker room, if I'm there, or when it what
what's,
these,
what's it going to be
what's the Cardinal
today?
Locker room today feel like?
Probably very quiet. I hope not. We all hope not. As a fan, we hope it's fired up. We hope everybody's happy. We hope everybody's cheering each other up. Let's go, you know, and let's go get this thing done. I hope so. But probably the way they're showing me how they're playing, I would say it's probably quiet, you know, just going up business as normal, going to BP, or let's get ready for this game.
Well, that's I think we want I think we want Benji in that locker room. Maybe you should go in the locker room today. I know you're going to be broadcast. Maybe you can go in early and get him going.
I'm going to the game, so I'm guaranteeing a winner.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and love – Fish was so calm today asking questions. He has one last question for Benji after the show. He's got his book he's going to ask you to autograph, and he's a little nervous about that. But
he already talked to
him
before you got
him. I'm waiting for the movie. I'm a Cliff Note movie guy, so.
Yeah, we're working on it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Benji, thanks for actually coming in the studio today. You've been just so gracious with your time. My hope is that this won't be the last time. My hope is that we're in the playoffs, and you have to do the show for another month. If it worked out, another month we'd have you on Fridays by the phone. Obviously,
hey, I still believe. I tell you that.
That's right.
I believe in these kids. These kids have shown everybody they got the heart. They're having a hard time right now. They're having a tough time, but I still believe. I think they have the heart.
As Mike Shannon says, Ole Ebner has done it again. Because even though we've struggled a little bit, we're only one game out of this thing. So hey. Go Colorado, go L.A. Cardinals, got to take care of business at home. For Two Birds on a Bat, I'm one part of your team, Jimbo. That's Steve, Fish, and Benji. Thank you.
Thank you for being here, Benji.
See you guys next week.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.